God, that burns.
Chris, what did you just take a shot of?
Water.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate and LGBT podcast.
Yet she still gets half the pay.
Streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome back the great Dr. Evan Goldstein for this month's Tales from the Tale. We're going to have more with the great doctor on the second half of the show, as always. And let's move on. My name is Tom. Wait, I was going to say, what did you call me?
Sandals and Socks.
My name is Sandal Socks today. We're going to give each other nicknames. And anyway, I'm here with my amazing bitches, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Snow Boots.
And
good to be with you guys at Long Island.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It doesn't work.
My joke was going to be like, where would Tom go on a dream vacation?
Where would I go?
Sandals.
I hate them both. With a passion. Anyway.
I'm so loud.
Are you okay?
Is it my microphone or is it my headset?
That's probably your headset.
Much better.
Okay.
It hurt. I hurt myself.
You're hurting me right now.
Well, good.
Good. So now you know how we feel all the time.
It's my mission.
Anyway, welcome back. And I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I for sure ate like a fucking pig because, you know, that's what we usually do on Thanksgiving. But we're going to talk a little bit about... Briefly about our weekends. It was a week for me, but I'll shoot it over to Chris. Chris, over here, sorry. Chris.
Do we need to talk? Are you okay, Tom? Like, we've been worried about you.
Let's just say my liver's detoxing. I was off all week.
Meanwhile, she has a Truly in her hand.
Yeah, exactly. There's a big jug of water right there, but she's, you know, fisting that
Truly. This is much better than vodka.
She's like white knuckling it.
Yeah. So anyway, Chris.
Me?
First of all, welcome back. We missed you last week.
Yes, I did have to go to class, but it's nice to be back.
But why did you have to go to class?
Because she missed the class.
I missed it at 1 o'clock, so I made it up.
Yeah, she's nasty. Okay. How was your Thanksgiving?
I worked, actually. Huh? I worked in the kitchen at the restaurant my roommate works at here in Connecticut. It was... a lot of fucking work. That's the busiest night of the year for this restaurant. They have massive parties that come in. The menu's a pretty small menu, but you get a ton of food with it. It's a great menu. I highly recommend it. But I volunteered. I mean, I got paid, but I volunteered to be the dishwasher. It started off good, and I was like on top of it, keeping up and everything. And then all the pots and pans started coming in on top of the 300 dishes, bowls, cups. Silverware. It was by the end of that shift, I was so fucking tired.
When I started in the restaurant industry, I was the dishwasher, and it's so bad. Gross.
Yeah, it really is gross. My hands were like white.
Yeah,
by the end of it. Like, because you guys have like that industrial dishwasher, right? Mm-hmm. Where you put things through and then they come out the other side
at like 165 degrees.
Yeah, but then you have to like rinse everything off first and then put the dish in there.
He didn't rinse anything.
And no, then, I did. I'm very thorough.
And then when you go scoop that out of the sink,
stop. So gross. You're bringing back memories of my childhood, disgusting. And I don't like it.
The worst part about it, seriously, was I have a newfound respect for the dishwashers, except for two of them that I work with because they're still assholes. But my newfound respect is when you're elbow deep in water for 5 hours straight and your hands are pruned and they're swollen and they're white and they're sensitive and you have to sort through that silverware.
Ugh.
Grabbing a fork was one of the most painful things I've experienced lately.
Yeah,
and terrible. Then your hands are wet too, so then your skin starts getting very, very sensitive, right? Because you literally lose like your ability to actually have a little cushion because you get all pruny.
Yeah, it's horrible. I did that long day. Then Friday, I woke up, went to the restaurant I work at, worked a double there, went home, did some homework, went to bed, had to be up at 8 o'clock the next morning and get to Newington to the Hartford Sangoboon for the Chris Kindlemacht. I was the bartender.
That's not a word.
Nor a place. Yeah, I was the Chris Kindlemacht is the Christmas market.
Okay.
And we do it every year. I guess on Friday night, we had between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m., we had over 1,200 people come. And on Saturday, we had over 1,500 people come when I was working behind the bar. It was absolutely insane. The line was out the door, wrapped around the tents, and then out into the parking lot. It was a great turnout, but incredibly busy, crazy, hectic. And it was a lot of fun, though. Good food, good beer.
Your Snapchat at like 11 with you drinking. Yeah, we saw.
I opened one beer. I was like, well, we're going to start.
Yeah, well, I was like, oh, honey. We're going to start, yeah, but then, I'm going to finish.
But then noon hit, and we got slammed, and I was like, no more beer for me. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was really nice turnout. The club did really well, and a lot of people came from across the state, across New York, New Jersey, and they had tons of great vendors selling handmade Christmas ornaments and different knickknacks and what stuff.
Paddywhacks.
And, you know, even dog bones to give to that dog, homemade. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun and a good success for the club.
That's awesome. Yeah. I know that Nick spent most of his holiday teaching small children about history. But anyway, so why don't you tell us about your Thanksgiving and your week and what you did for Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm.
I went to our good friend Paul's for Thanksgiving this year.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister, brother-in-law, mom, and mom's boyfriend, and sister's two kids came, and it was wonderful. A 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. We sat down for dinner, and I looked at one of them, the 4-year-old, and I said, "Do you know what Thanksgiving is all about?" And he said, "No." And I said, "It's when the white people came to America and took all the land from the Native American brown people." And he was like, "Oh." And then his mother continued to laugh. Like, that's basically what happened.
Yeah, she was basically educating small kids during mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. I'm proud of you, though, you know, because sometimes we get lost in the false narratives that we learn in school, right? All the pilgrims came over, they met the Indians, and, you know, they had their first Thanksgiving, and then what happened afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Indians are literally just, their lands are getting smaller.
We gave them areas to build casinos tax-free, so.
Yeah.
They're not fine.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, following like the Trail of Tears, you know, we displaced them to inhabitable Oklahoma with no land, no soil you can cultivate. Yeah, no, they went through a lot of shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just got their casinos now. Yeah.
But, you know, in today's day, I mean, Thanksgiving for us, I would say.
I think his dad actually said something like that. Well, they have casinos now, honey, so don't worry about it. I was like, I can't.
Oh, but also, there are multiple tribes across the nation and supporters of those tribes that boycott the holiday, and they look at it like Christopher Columbus Day as an Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, they have with the North Dakota pipeline affecting the natives there. We have mm-hmm. natives that are being affected by climate on Long Island. We have natives that are seeing their land shrivel up in the bottom of Florida, all the way out in Nevada, across the nation, we're seeing natives still to this day being persecuted or climate or politically or monetary gentrified.
Yeah, it's complete horror to see what we're still doing, even to this day, right? So the fact that we took all this land, because that's exactly what our ancestors did, doesn't stop today. It's still happening. You're right. I ended up going, my mom, as we know, she moved up, and so she finally got her place. So we went over at her place. It was my siblings, myself, my mom, her sisters, and a
bottle of Belvedere.
And a very large bottle of Belvedere. Sure. Very large. So I just started drinking until the loudness just didn't sound too loud anymore. It was just crazy because my family has two volumes. You're drinking, you speak like normal people, and you're not drinking, and you speak like normal people, and then you start drinking, and you start yelling at people, like if you're yelling at someone across a football field, and they're 2 feet in front of you, and so mm-hmm. I need to sort of kind of mute that, and so the vodka helped, and I got through it, and then I was off all week, which was amazing, and ran around and did some stuff that I'd been meaning to do, and I got new sacks, new sectionals, new sofas.
Yeah,
you did. And they're amazing, and they're comfy.
And both Chris and I sat on your sack. So.
Yeah, they did. Imagine that. All these years, 3 years, almost 3 years, and they finally sat on my sack.
I swore I'd never do it.
But she did. All right, so listen, we've got some...
What is a sactional? Like, we just said we sat on your sack, yeah. So please explain
okay,
to them
so
what that means.
I just disappointed so many of our fans.
So so sactionals are basically this furniture concept, and what it is, it's like building Legos. So they all come in all these individual pieces, and they're all designed to fit each other, and so you can reconfigure this sectional into many different configurations of anything you want. And so you can make a movie seat, you can make a bed if you want to, you can make a very long sectional, which they call sectional, and you can add ottomans. It's just, you can change the fabric to anything that you want. It's truly incredible what these people have designed. And so I ended up buying some, and I set it up in sort of kind of like an L-shaped so that it fits nicely in the living room upstairs. So when we're watching movies or people are over, we can all congregate around the TV and enjoy. But it's fun, and they're very comfortable. So, mm-hmm. And I'm excited. So I got them in a very dark blue
because blue is my favorite color.
It's like corded velvet blue, but then you can change it to whatever you want. So maybe 2 years from now, I may want to change all the fabric to
can
like...
Can you please just get my hot tub first?
Leather or something? I will try, girl. Hot tub is expensive, but then again, so were these sacks. But yeah, so that's what I did all week while I was off. And then today I went back to work for the first time in a week, and it was torture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolute torture, but you know, gotta pay the bills.
Outside of the sectionals, which are very important, there are two things I want to bring up. The first thing is Shelley Morrison,
yep.
Rosario, right. From yeah. Will and Grace, passed away at 83.
Mm-hmm.
And God, we loved her mm-hmm. because...
She gave Karen a run for her money.
But Karen didn't realize it.
No.
The whole time. Like, that was my favorite part. Like, she would just like tear Karen down, and Karen would be like, oh, Rosario, I'll send you back over the border. Like, I loved it.
She played the hell out of that character, I will tell you. But it's true. Yeah, she did. And I hope she, you know, may she rest in peace. She mm-hmm. she was a very, very good comedic actress. And like you said, she spent many years, you know, well over a couple of many seasons on Will and Grace, the original Will and Grace before the remake came back. I don't think she was a part of the cast.
I don't think she was either, yeah.
For the remake, but yeah, she passed.
So sad, but important to note.
And
she was a part of my childhood growing up, Rosario.
Oh, I know. Didn't you call me Rosario for a little while there?
I don't think so, but that's super racist.
But I think you did. But I'm glad you checked it. You know, you realized it, which is good.
When the fuck did I do that?
I don't know. You used to call me Rosario all the time.
What?
Early on in our friendship. And I think I said something. I'm like, look, bitch.
I don't remember this. Maybe I blocked it out.
Yeah, probably. It's okay.
It's back now. All right, Rosario. So tell me, what's next?
No, I'm sandal socks today. Stop it. Snow boots. Anyway.
All right, keep it together.
We can't move forward without mentioning that yesterday was AIDS World's Day. And
World AIDS Day.
Thank you. And so we just wanted to mention that because it is important. It's something that has, you know, impacted our community since the beginning. And we've lost so many people because of this, you know, disease. And so we just wanted to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that we've had many people that we've lost and that we still continue to lose people to this disease, even though the advances in medical treatments for it today are far better than they were two decades ago. And we've had millions of people pass away as a result, but we're optimistic, and we have a lot of, you know, things to look forward to in regards to advancements in further research and medication, things like Truvada, the possibility of having some sort of vaccine that would actually cure HIV. That's something that we have something to look forward to, but it is something that still afflicts our community heavily and the world. And so we wanted to make sure that we acknowledge the fact that we celebrate this every year, and we have done so, I believe, since 1987, I believe. And if I'm not mistaken, I think one of the first people to push for this was Elizabeth Taylor, if I'm not mistaken. She was very influential in getting the conversation started during the Reagan era when they didn't want to talk about it. And she was sort of kind of forcing the issue. She was one of the few celebrities that actually stepped up to the plate and did what she needed to do for our community. So thank you to her. And may she also rest in peace, because we lost her a few years back. And I think that's it.
I'm actually going to go ahead and take the reins, because I'll start with the first story because it's tied to this.
So is mine. So.
All right.
Like I said, I'm going to take the reins. So, the U.S. ambassador to the African nation of Zambia is actually canceling his World AIDS Day appearance, which was to be set, which was scheduled for tomorrow. And again, the African nation of Zambia, the U.S. ambassador Daniel Foote has condemned the jailing of a gay couple in the African nation and has now received threats. I'm not sure if they're death threats or what kind of threats he's receiving. I know that some of them are from the state, like the state. Politicians of Zambia, including the president. He was saying that Shafet Chataba and Stephen Samba were sentenced last week to 15 years in prison for what Zambian law calls, quote, crimes against the order of nature. And Sky News reports that that is gay sex. So Ambassador Foote said he was horrified by the sentence, noting that the men had a consensual relationship which hurt absolutely nobody. So again, he was scheduled to speak tomorrow at the event for World AIDS Day. And he is not going to be able to get there because the Zambian president, Edgar Lungu, had said that he will complain to the U.S. government and warned that there will be a breakdown of U.S.-Zambian relations unless President Trump takes action against Foote. And it's important to point out that Foote has served as a diplomat for the United States since 1998. Which shows that this man has been serving this nation for over 20 years.
Yeah, that's right.
This man has been serving this nation across the aisle for multiple different presidents. And he just is standing up for human rights. And he said, in a quote today, "Lamentably, I will be unable to attend tomorrow's AIDS event because of the threats made against me via various media over my comments of the harsh sentencing of homosexuals."
And with good reason. I mean, we see time and time again in a lot of these African nations and how they're attacking our community and killing people and persecuting people. And they are literally subjected to horrible, horrible treatment and death at times just for being who they are. Mm-hmm. And so taking a stand like this, right, this is what true diplomacy, this is what it should look like, right? When we stand for something, when we stand for human rights, we need to have representatives that go to these nations and say, no, you can't do this.
Yeah, we have to be vocal about it. And if you stand for human rights, you stand for all human rights. You can't pick and choose. And I like the wording, and this is the last quote I'm going to read, but I like the wording that he used. He said, quote, "I was shocked at the venom and hate directed at me and my country, largely in the name of, quote, Christian values by a small minority of Zambians." I love that he used the word venom, because it truly is. This is not showing Christian values. This is poison. This is poisonous hatred. And I just love, like you said, that this man, he's a true diplomat serving across the aisles in a nonpartisan way, trying to represent that the United States, we stand for human rights. And when we stand for human rights, we stand for all rights.
And these aren't partisan, like, individuals working for the government. These are nonpartisan diplomats. These are employees of the government that, regardless of president, whether it's Donald Trump.
Well, the president will appoint him as the ambassador. So he had been in service, but Trump would have kept him in the post of ambassador toward Zambia.
He probably didn't even realize.
Probably. Yeah. He probably doesn't realize Zambia is a country. Remember, he just said those shithole nations in Africa. He doesn't know Zambia is a place.
Yeah, well, he has a shithole place down on Fifth Avenue with gold toilets in it. But anyway.
Well, I think the problem, though, too, is that he actually isn't representing what America is portraying itself to be right now. The reality is true. Like, he's not. You know, we're not supporting transgender individuals this country. We're not supporting LGBT individuals generally in this country right now. We're not supporting AIDS awareness and education in this country right now because of the administration we face right now. So what this individual did actually supersedes just that nation in which he represents America at.
And it's important. I love that you bring that fact up, because the job of the ambassador is to obviously work with diplomacy, but push and spread the message of the current administration, what this administration wants for America and for the globe. And clearly he's going against the what do they say? I serve the pleasure of the president. He's he is standing there saying, this is what, how America stands. This is the true stance of America and not Donald Trump's America.
Well, and you're seeing that more and more with a lot of, you know, career diplomats. You see Marie Yovanovitch going against the wishes of the Department of Justice and going and testifying in some of these hearings that we've been having for the impeachment inquiry. And you see other ambassadors, Sondland, you know, who changed the story like four times, went up there and finally just, you know, put it out to the world that, yes, there was a quid pro quo. And there, you're seeing all these individuals that have been in these positions for 30 plus years do these kind of things and defy what the Department of Justice and what this administration is asking them to do, because they know downright and deep inside, they know that
this is wrong.
This is not who we should be.
This is not the proper representation of America. Yes, they serve at the pleasure of the president, but beyond that, they are serving for diplomacy across the nation, across the world, and to show true American values that we're not just pushing on other nations, but hoping that other nations will adapt and follow suit with us.
Yeah,
that's right. Under our lead.
Yeah, and equality, like you said earlier, it's like, it can't just be for this or that, or, you know, gay men or gay women. Like, we have to, as a nation, outside of the fact that we have ambassadors that are, you know, in other nations talking for us, we need to support every single individual, transgender, everybody. And the reality is, right now, America's not doing that.
Yeah,
right.
We have a lot of work to do.
We're not portraying what the world should, as a world leader, if we are anymore, we're not actually setting an example.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? What is the quote? Lead by example, or, you know, whatever it is, but we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have to understand the fundamental truth that human rights are basic rights and basic rights are human rights.
Yeah, but you have to be the change you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's plain and simple. And, you know, it's a great point that you point out that we, even ourselves here at home, while we're pushing this agenda all across the world, are not at 100% where we should be, and including our brothers and sisters in the transgender community.
Oh, totally.
I'll give you an example. For example, the idiot in office literally came out and gave a statement on for World AIDS Day and completely forgot to mention the LGBT community, period.
For the second time.
And so I'm tired of the hypocrisy that's coming out of this administration, right? So on day one, when he first goes in, you know, into office, one of the first things that came down from the government website was anything related to the LGBT community and anything related to AIDS and HIV.
Wasn't that the day he was inaugurated?
Yeah.
I remember that because I was in Germany. I remember Trish sending our
he wasn't even in office yet.
Snow boots sending like a
these are our holiday elf names, by the way.
Yeah.
You have Long Island, you've got sandal socks and snow boots.
I think you should just call me L.I. I think that's better.
Long Island.
Yeah.
Long Island. Anyway, continue the point. I was just saying snow boots, I remember, was like blowing up the group chat once that was removed. Because it was one.
It came down right away.
I believe it was. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the point that I'm trying to make is that the hypocrisy is just incredible, right? Day one, you remove anything that has anything related to any information that is regarding HIV and AIDS and the LGBT community from the government website, day one. Then you go on and you give comments and you make all these comments about, you know, the gays loving you. And I can think of countless instances in where this man has come out and said that he is for the community and he's really not.
And I know so many gay Republicans that were for him the first time around and aren't anymore. And that makes me feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that we've talked about it on the show. I do think there needs to be a happy medium between the parties, and there isn't right now. And to see a gay Republican who once did vote for Trump finding their way back to the middle of the aisle, it's kind of inspiring,
right,
for me.
And we've had a supporter of Trump on the show.
That's right.
Who turned around. And it's, how can you stand there and believe that this man is for you when he gets on stage and he holds a pride flag with a Sharpie marked LGBT on it, or Trump for LGBT. He holds it, it's with a Sharpie, and he's holding it on there. How can you be a part of the LGBT community and believe that he's for you? How can you be part of the Black community and believe he's for you when he's standing on a stage during one of his campaign rallies, and he's like, where's my there's my African-American. There's my African-American. How do you feel that how can you believe that he cares about you? He's like finding one token to point out and calling him my African-American.
I'm not a token. I'm not a toy. I'm not some sort of artifact that you can point out and see,
It's all a campaign tactic.
It is. And it's just ridiculous. And I just, you know what? Two things are going to happen. Either this man is going to get impeached, God, I hope, or we're just going to have to, you know, make sure that we come out and come out strong during this election.
Mm-hmm. Both.
I think it's going to happen.
I think it's going to be both.
You know, it would make me feel wonderful to see this man impeached, even if it just happens in the House, right? Because that will follow him for the rest of his life. Even if it just happens in the House.
Well, I mean, all of this bullshit's going to follow him for the rest of his life, and he doesn't give a shit.
And so, but when we look back in history, we're going to see, you know, I hope that, first of all, a lot of changes come as a result of what we've experienced in the past 3.5 years. I hope that there is legislation introduced and passed and that we put checks and balances on the executive branch that would not allow another president in the future going forward to do the kind of things that this man has been doing and getting away with.
And not just the executive branch. We have to remember there are checks and balances of all of each of the three and equal branches. So it's important to keep checks and balances on those, because you can also remove a federal judge.
See, they're there right now. They're not being acknowledged because of the bipartisanship in both houses.
Bipartisanship, you mean?
No. Yeah.
The lack of bipartisanship.
Yeah, exactly. The lack of bipartisanship. Right. Sorry. No, but that's the reality. They're not being acknowledged.
Right.
When Bill Clinton got impeached, it was because there was a party that didn't want him in the House, and so they found
or didn't want him in office. Yeah. No, when you say the House, it makes it sound like the House of Representatives.
You know what I mean? What I'm trying to say. Anyway, let's move on. Anyway, we have to move on. Anyway,
so. We do. All right, listen. We'll pick up the conversation when we're done with our conversation with Dr. G, but he is coming on, and we do have to take a quick break. And when we do, we'll be back with a great doctor. So let me just make sure that I have everything teed up here, and here is some music, and we'll be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. 'Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, see, 'cause if you
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by the Incredible.
Davis Mallory.
No.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God. Do not. Do not. It's not.
I know.
It's
not.
Pat Riley.
I know.
Anyway, so right before we came back from the break, we were all sitting here on the table, and we're just looking at our screen in front of us, and we're just admiring the hot doctor that sits, you know, before us every month. And so we're all talking amongst ourselves, and I'm not going to say what we were talking about because we can't repeat that on the air.
Oh, I was not part of this.
Yeah, you were.
And but all of a sudden, he looks back at us, and we all just start laughing. He's like, "I can't hear you."
We're all staring at him. We all stop what we're doing, and we're just staring at him.
And I'm like, "Thank God," right? Because
he's like,
"We can
mouthing,
be.
I can't
you know,
hear
this
you.
Is a gay show, so we're just going to be honest. We said that you have the face that, like, you know, people want to come on."
Oh my God, Nick!
It's beautiful.
It is. He's gorgeous. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we do have this
gonna
amazing.
Go home and be like, kids, don't listen to Daddy's podcast.
No. Merritt's gonna email me tomorrow and be like, and that was the last episode with Dr. Goldstein.
We thought Jack was bad.
Lord have mercy.
Merritt's always like, you're the sweetest, you're the best, and tomorrow I'm gonna be like,
she has no idea.
I'm so sorry.
Or he has no idea. You're canceled.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, Dr. Evan Goldstein. We're going to be talking about this month's Tales from the Tale, which we do monthly. And like I said, you're the highlight of our show. I love sitting here and just watching you talk. So anyway.
And listening to the message.
Yes.
And the message. It's all about the message.
Yes.
It's important.
So first and foremost, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was great. How was yours?
It was good. I had a good time. I informed a four-year-old about what Thanksgiving's really about.
Yeah, she was teaching kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Wrong. You don't want this one teaching your kids. Trust me.
Hey, I'm smart.
No. Nobody ever said that you weren't. I'm just saying I'm worried about what's going to come out your mouth. You know, kids aren't ready for the truth at that age.
Valid
and
point.
You just laid it on them.
Hey.
But yeah, that's what he did for Thanksgiving. I just ate food and got fatter. It's what I do best. And
that's what you do good. That's what you're best at.
Exactly. And I know, like, during your normal day job, you're elbow deep in ass. I was elbow deep in dishwater, so.
Yeah.
Nice. You know. Yes. No, we usually leave our families because I find it quite boring. And we wind up heading to, we were in Miami for the weekend, so it was nice. The kids were in the ocean and the pool, and we were having a good time. But I had to come back to this shit that we're going through right now.
I was the president.
Yes. Oh, he's great.
I'm not gonna lie, I follow you on Insta, obviously, and I was like, oh my God, he's in warm weather with the cute kids, and I'm so jealous.
I know it was quite good, but you know, we got to come back and talk about ass, you guys. This is gonna be a fucked up story though.
I know
if y'all ever got shit on your dick, this is what we're going to be talking about today. So, as usual, you know the drill. Why don't you tee us up on what we're going to be talking about, and then we'll move into our conversation.
All right. So, pretty basic top guy who prefers an open relationship. He likes variety. Has, you know, a couple of few regulars and has come to me periodically for evaluations just to make sure anal is all good and all that stuff. And his, like, go to out of the relationship guy, he really loves, and they just kick it off and everything's great and they're really into each other and they penetrate and do all the good stuff. Anyhow, you know, the first time he was hooking up, he was really, really quite turned off. You know, he's having sex, all of a sudden he starts smelling shit, and starts, you know, looking down and sees that it's quite dirty. And right away, immediately turned off, loses erection, and figures out another way to kind of get off and whatever. And so the first time this happened, it was kind of like, all right, you know, shit happens, right? Let's just move along, and go from there. And then, so second time, same fucking thing happened. And you know, these guys getting a little annoyed and like, what do? You know, I don't want to shame the kid. But on the other hand, like, it's such a turnoff, but he's so hot that, like, I want to be in him and I can't. So he said, all right, one more time, third time's the charm. And it happens. the third time. Oh, and to the point where, like, totally lost patience, was like, fuck this. This is crazy. I'm just going to say something because I really like this kid. And maybe he just doesn't know, you know? It's like that piece of salad that's stuck in your tooth all day long.
That no one tells you.
Like your best friends and everybody, and nobody says a fucking thing, except right?
It's poop coming out your butthole.
I mean, like, I agree with you to an extent, but at the same time, I'm like, if your butthole smells, like, it's a little bit different than salad in your teeth.
I get it, but I was saying that it's more of, like, you got to just tell him,
right,
you know, just be like, hey, look, this is what's going on. And like, let's just see. So anyhow, he gets all the courage to tell the guy. And basically, the guy tells him to fuck off, that like, this is me. And sometimes I'm going to be clean. Sometimes I'm au naturel.
But wait, wait,
wait. Sometimes I have, you know, shit coming out my ass, and you have to love me or like me in any capacity. You find me.
But sometimes was three times in a row that you shit my dick. And it's like, no, that's not sometimes. That's every time. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference.
There are two, like, sides to this story, right? So we have the one side where somebody's trying to have sex with them. And then we have the other side where somebody is clearly, you know, giving off an odor, right? So what is going on the one side? Why does this happen to individuals? If maybe they're not taking care of it correctly as a bottom? Is it their diet? What tends to bring a bottom to that situation?
I think it's, you know, it's, and I say it all the time, it's obviously multifactorial. You know, when you look at, if you first you have to understand the anatomy, right? The anatomy of where cock is going is actually not that far in. And stool, in and of itself, really shouldn't be in that area. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're having irregular bowel movements, if you're not shitting, you know, in a routine way, if you're not taking enough fiber, diet, exercise, now you can start having this where you're not fully emptying and there is residual shit in that area. Now, some people don't douche, and we'll get into douching, you know, to clean out. People just don't agree with it. And I understand that from some element, because there are some harmful effects to that. And we'll get into that. But I think it's, you need to analyze gut health. You know, people feel as if, oh, yeah, I'm just going to douche and it'll be all good. The answer is no. You need to eat the right way. You need to know that, like, tonight, if I'm going to fucking Mexican taco night, that it may not be
fuck first.
Exactly. It may not be the best time to fucking stick a penis in my ass.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have a Nutella party.
I mean, Dan Savage says it all the time. Fuck first.
Then you can eat whatever you want.
Yeah.
Literally. Now,
and I think that you're right. It's understanding your own body, but I think it's analyzing it in a different way so that you're able to, I don't want it to be so scientific that you're not enjoying sex or at whim, just being like, you know, oh, well, Goldstein said you got to do this and this. But you need to, like, do a play-by-play. And, like, if you are having shit, you now need to say, okay, well, what am I doing? Am I eating incorrectly? What did I eat that night? Is this guy just in a certain position doing something to me that's different? And you start to analyze and see. It's not going to be 100%. But you're able to now look and say, oh, you know what? This is, I can attribute this to that. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not going to do that again. Or I'm going to change my habits so that if I am at a whim, that I know that I'm going to be clean.
And that's important, because you want to really analyze everything that can be a factor in it. Because the last thing you want to have when you're going into sex is stress and, like, worrying about it. Because then you're not going to have a good time at that point. You're just going to be thinking about it.
But then there's other people, and this is to you guys, you know, I think there's a significant stigma and pressure surrounding being clean or being dirty, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like in this case. And you now have, some people have fear of sex mm-hmm. because of that.
I mean, there's some people that's into that shit, pun intended.
Yes.
I mean, having a Nutella party, they're all into scat. And
there are people out there that are true.
But there's also the we have to understand too how your body consumes food and how it digests it, right? So obviously, you know that if you eat something at 12, by 6 or 7, you should be having some sort of bowel movement. Like 4 or 5, 6 hours later, you should be expecting to have a bowel movement if you're eating. If you're not, then that's...
It depends. I think I think that may be you.
Maybe I eat and I go straight to the bathroom.
Four times a day.
Yeah, I do. And I love it.
I only shit one time in the morning and that's it.
Oh, God, no.
But I think it's variable as to where and how. But I think you, like, so for instance, if you know that you shit in the morning, then the rest of the day, in theory, that region should be clean. And prove it to yourself. Use a toy before you engage. Mm-hmm. Take the toy out. Look at it. Smell it. See what the issue is so that you could see, okay, these are the right times. Some people take fiber supplementation. We speak a lot about like Take Two or Pure for Men, which I really do like, and I do think that they work very, very well. But I think also taking them at night is really great because when you take it at night, it really works with your gut health. And when you wake up in the morning, you usually, most people do go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And you start to kind of cycle your own habits so that now you know that like, okay, I'm hooking up X, Y, and Z times. Mm-hmm. How do I make sure that I'm super clean or not? Or you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be full of shit and fuck them. You know, that's who I am.
So let's talk about it honestly. We're talking about anal sex. You're going to encounter poop no matter what.
In some fashion,
I mean, like, it can be clean as the fucking whistle you blow on, but there are
rusty whistles out there.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
But, like, can you expect to have 100% clean anal sex? You can't.
Well, I don't think that that's necessarily not. I don't think that that's true. I mean, I think it just depends on your body. Now, 100% of the time, no, I think that there are people that, yes, you're going to have. Shit happens periodically, right? Mm-hmm. But there are definitely people, I've had sex with them and fucked people that are like so clean all the time. And it's like, for me, it's amazing.
But listen, it's like playing baseball. Three strikes, you're out.
It's interesting to bring this back to something we had talked about, you know, many episodes ago. Even if you go to the bathroom, you don't necessarily have to get up in there and cleaning because you have that mucus. Correct, in your rectum that helps push that out. So it's not that your rectum wall is going to be like coated in fecal matter. Isn't that true? We have this mucus in our body that will help push that out so it's not coated in it.
Not necessarily. And that was one of the things, you know, why I founded a company called Future Method was because we wanted products to support our communities, not be harmful. I know that most people are douching. Okay. And the reality is that what they're using, water and also enemas or shower hoses, are quite detrimental. They actually cause a higher incidence of STDs and HIV. They also cause a significant amount of trauma. Now, if you think of shit, okay, shit has fats, it has oils in it. If you're using water, water comes into contact with it, it does nothing, right? Fats and oils separate out from water. So there are definitely people that have lined, you know, stool lining the canal. Not a tremendous amount. It's, enough that you can potentially get it on your cock when you're having sex.
Right.
So the reality is that you want a cleanser that is going to penetrate fats and oils so that it washes away and it allows that to go out. When you look at water itself, people that are using water, they actually have a higher incidence of mucus production, like you were talking about. That mucus production, some people like because they feel like they're coming out the ass. But the reality is it's probably over-douching and also a potential STD that you should get checked to make sure that you don't have any issues.
Yeah,
but
Chris.
But the key is, if you're doing GI health, it should be fiber, exercise, diet, understanding your own anatomy and your own habits, and then using douching as more of a gentle cleanse instead of what everybody's doing, which is crazy over-douching, going higher than where shit is going to be. Mm-hmm. So the water goes way up high and it actually elicits a response so that you feel the urge to go to the bathroom and you're going and it's constantly. And I see it all the time. Someone comes to me, they're like, oh, I douched twice. I was so clean. And then the third time, I was like, oh, you know what? Let me just do one more. And they do the third time and there's shit that's there. And they're like, oh my God, I'm dirty again. And they keep going and going and going. And so I think going back to this story, it's saying, you know, yes, there's stigma. Yes, there's pressures. Yes, there's your own individual choices as it relates to where you want to be in that cleaning spectrum. But I felt like it was just, you know, it's interesting to see where people lie in, hey, you know, what do you guys think? So what do you think? What do you think about it?
Well, I mean, I'm a bottom, so I can go on for hours. But I've before I go on with that, so when I'm looking at the future method, the future method, you're talking about a pH balance solution that we're putting into our anal cavity. What does that mean?
Sure. So when you look at water or you look at an enema, they're on two sides of the spectrum, and they both are actually irritating to the cells. So when we set out for future method, I said, okay, if people are going to douche, how do we make sure that we are creating a solution that's not going to cause the cells to be damaged? Okay. How do we just clean? How do we make you feel sexy? But how do we not strip the lining and cause dryness and cause cracking and all of these issues? And so that pH balance is really what's called isotonicity. And isotonic basically just means that we are the same concentration of the cells. Mm-hmm. And so we come into contact with the cell, we clean the cell, but we're not irritating the cell.
Right.
And that's the main key, which is we don't want higher STDs, we don't want HIV, we don't want anal trauma. We want the lubrication, we want to feel sexy. And so it's understanding that now we finally have a solution that will actually not cause harm, but then also leave you with this silky, really great lubricity feeling where now you're not dry and then boom, you're off to the races.
So if you were, say, to engage in anal intercourse and you, like, for example, I always douche before I engage in anal intercourse. I have yet to use the future method. I will be using it in the future. But like, what would you suggest for people? Like, say, I know I'm going on a date tonight. I know I'm going to be having sex. Do I do it before the date? Do, you know, I go home after dinner? Well, what is the time frame that I should be douching prior to sex?
I think you have to now understand your own anatomy, right? And so most people, if, let's say, again, we'll go back to the shitting during the day, right? They're going to the bathroom. Let's say, I usually tell people, you're getting ready to go out for the night. You're going to shower. You're going to clean yourself. You're going to clean outside. You're going to douche inside. Then you're good. You're going to be good for several hours post that. You know, and the reality is that you have to now try it. So in the beginning, set the stage for you. Let's say tonight we're going to do it, but I'm not going to have sex with anybody. I'm going to try this all out. Do it. Clean yourself out.
And play
do
with
what
yourself.
You need to do. Use a toy when you get home. Show yourself. Prove yourself. You may say, oh, you know what? Okay, I'm not clean. Why am I not clean? Did I do fiber supplementation? When am I taking that? Am I really well hydrated with water? When are my shitting patterns? How do I change all of that to know, like, hey, now there are definitely people that are at whim, right? That are like, hey, you know what? I see this guy on the street and I want his dick in my ass right now. And they do it, right?
Right.
Now, you know, you could bring, some people bring the future method or their douching apparatuses with them and it's in their bag, right? I mean, it depends on where you want to go with it. But the reality is that most people will be clean for several hours post doing that. Again, for average cock, we're not talking about fisting. We're not talking about, you know, crazy huge toys and other different things. That's a whole different show that we could kind of talk about. But the average cock is going to enter into a clean space regardless. And I remember I had a straight medical school professor who said, you know, I would eat off of the anal cavity anytime because it's actually one of the cleanest organs that's out there. And he started to explain that if we would have anal sex with 10 random people, not cleaning them, not doing anything, probably 9 out of 10 will actually be completely clean on your cock.
You know what's crazy, though? Because you asked us, like, what we think about it. And, like, as a bottom, we all know on the show I'm a bottom. But as a bottom, no matter how much cleaning you do, you're always in your head about it. You're always like, I don't want that. Like, it's a thing. Like, I don't want to shit the dick, for lack of a better term. Like, you're in your head about it all the time. And, like, you can clean, you can, you know, eat healthy and all this stuff. But it's one of those things because it's where the poop comes out of. So there's a psychological element to it, too. And the way that this individual addressed it, it must have been hard on the other individual. Is there a way you would suggest, or how do you talk to somebody about this if you're just, you know, having casual sex?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to, I had a client who came into this office and he smelled fucking terrible every time he came into the office, and like terrible. And how do you tell a guy that you smell, right? Yeah. I mean, or how do you tell a guy that you want to have sex with that like every time, you know, you're shitting on my dick? And I think you have to kind of say it in a way that's trying to not be shameful, that's trying to not judge, and say, hey, look, there's certain things, again, and I go back to the salad in my, or like, you know, the peppercorn or whatever in my tooth, which is like, you know, there are people that may want to smell, and that's okay. And there are people that may want to, they don't care, and they're very free spirited, that sometimes I'm clean and sometimes I'm not. I want to know who you are, because every time we've engaged, this is what's been going on. And the reality is that it is a turnoff for some people. Yeah. And so why shouldn't you as a top or you as a bottom live exactly the way you want to live? And if you want to live in shit and that gets you off, awesome. If you want to be completely, completely clean, I think, again, the reality here was this person was so beautiful, exactly 99.9% of everything that this guy wanted, except that 0.1%,
right.
And that 0.1% was detrimental to this fuck buddy relationship.
Well, his Aphrodite couldn't stop pooping, so.
Well, I mean, there's always trash. I mean, he can, you know, come down and, you know, go at it and decide whether or not.
But do you feel, you feel that you have your own internal stigma and own internal pressures, right?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Right, but do you feel that there's the tops are putting more pressure on you?
No, I've never had a complaint.
Okay. Oh, look at that. All right, so what's your routine?
She's eccentric.
I don't eat. No, I'm just
I don't eat.
No, I mean, then again, I haven't really had sex in a long time, so that's another story for another time. But I don't know. I just I don't know. If I know it's going to happen, and I personally, if I want to have sex with somebody, but I feel as though I'm not in a position to have sex, I'm vocal about it. I'm like, no, we can't do that tonight.
Right.
Or if we want to do that tonight, you need to give me some time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's a huge part of being a bottom is being open with whoever you want to sleep with, because I'm either going to shit your dick or you're going to give me a moment to clean myself out. Well, I mean, but that's, right. I'm being honest.
And with that, I'll tag in. So as,
newly minted bottom.
No, as like 98% top.
As a newly minted bottom.
No, I have been with partners before where we were having sex. I didn't smell anything. Everything was really good. And we both got off. But then when I pulled out and took the condom off, there was a little bit just toward the tip of the condom. Didn't bother me at all. But then I hear stories, and this had never happened to me, but I hear stories of people who are having sex and they don't just get shit dick, they get shit on.
Yes.
So that's...
those are Nutella parties.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I call them.
Now what actually... So what would cause someone to have that instance where I had a little bit of brown stuff at the tip of my condom, which didn't bother me at all, but then you're plowing someone and all of a sudden as you pull out, they shit on you. Like, they shit on you. What...
I can't contain myself right now.
First of all,
it didn't happen to me. It really didn't.
Okay, so I think a couple of things. One is sometimes, especially I know your dick is quite big, so it probably goes way beyond where it needs to go, and it may go into the stool.
He saw your dick and then just gave you accolades. Congratulations, Christopher.
No,
I really hope my mom's not listening.
I think that when you look at the canal, yes, there definitely could be, especially if they're not douching or they're not cleaning out or they're not as congealed. People increase your fiber. People that, you see, even vegetarians, I see a ton of people like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I eat a ton of vegetables and I do a ton of fiber. We need so much. Like, you ever see a dog take a shit on the street and it's like perfect? It's like solid. It comes out. They don't even need to wipe. Well, it's because they have such a huge fiber diet. So I think the key is adding fiber supplementation and keep going with it until you reach a plateau where you're able to go, it's soft but congealed, and it doesn't leave any residue at all or residual. Now, the other is there are definitely some, you know, the act of bottoming creates a reflex, and that reflex is shitting. There are definitely people. A lot of tops are tops because they've tried to bottom and they don't feel pleasure. They feel like they just need to take a fucking shit, you know? And that happens, you know? I mean, that totally, totally happens.
I feel so bad for those people.
And so that reflex, you're eliciting a poop reflex. And that person is not able to fully shut that off. And then you may potentially get shit on. And there are definitely people that are into that kink. Mm-hmm. I'm not into the shit kink, but I mean, I could probably pee. I mean, the pee is kind of interesting.
Yeah, water sports are fun.
Can I take this one step further?
I don't know if step further?
Yeah, I do. I want to take it one step further because
four steps
because
back.
As a bottom, we've talked about it on the show several times. There's trauma that happens to that area if and when you have sex, right? So if you're developing skin tags, if you're developing a fissure, if you're developing anything that could potentially cause some type of backup or issue in that area, that could also be creating an aroma or a smell, which could be a similar situation, whether it's poop or not poop. But I think that's something we need to talk about because as a bottom, if you have a skin tag, you can get, you know, particles of poop stuck in that.
Right.
Like, there can be things that aren't as easy to clean out. And I think that's something we should talk about.
Of course. And going with that, and then we'll send it back to you, Doctor. If you're having the fistulas or fissures or skin tags or any kind of, even like pimples in the area, you can get that odor because it has that pussy smell. So it's not that you're smelling shit, but you can get mucus and pus in that area as well, if I'm not correct.
Yes, you guys are 100% correct. But I think that it's the conversation has gone so many ridiculous areas and ways. I think
we just like to drill you for info. Giggity.
It's literally shit. I think, you know, I have to stay somewhat PC, but like, you need to clean your ass. I mean, I'm going to be in it. Or someone, I mean, people want to lick, we want to play. And if it's not clean, mm-hmm. who's going to go down there? But on the other hand, I understand there's so much pressures and stigmas from the bottoming and things like that. So I need to somewhat stay PC. But with extra skin tags, with fissures and fistulas, yes. But I am hoping that with all these conversations that if you have active issues that you're not bottoming and that you're seeking help so that people can evaluate that and get those treated so that you're able to make sure. Now, I mean, do you do the whiff test?
The what?
I do.
Is that like when you're like...
I do. I go down. So here's what I do. So when I'm...
Oh, the whiff. The whiff. I thought he said the whiff. Like, I'm like, the whiff. Oh. I'll take whatever.
So I start with the front and work my way down the testicles. And when I get to that area, I sniff. And if I smell a little something, I'll be like, bitch, you better go shower. That's just it. I do.
I agree. And I think that, you know, I was just speaking to someone and they're like, oh, well, it could be the pheromones. And I was like, there's a difference between
shit and pheromones.
And like, that's going to get me off. And then just pure plain old fucking ass. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, imagine recording a show with her when she's in her sriracha.
Oh my God. All right. Anyway, so we have gone left field on this story, but it's important to talk about because shit on the dick happens. But let's talk a little bit more about the future method. So where can people find it? Why is it important for people to use it? And do you have any Cyber Monday deals going on?
There are Cyber Monday deals. And yes, you can go on Future Method on Instagram and online. The Instagram tag is The Future Method, and online is futuremethod.com. Right now, you can buy 3 packs or 12 packs, and each pack also comes with a smaller bulb. And you basically, at the end of the 12 packs, you throw that out so that you're now starting new. So there's no bacterial issues, no potential STD issues, things like that. Currently, it's just online. There are popping up some stores, especially in kind of New York, LA area, that's going to be carrying it. And in my office, we carry it, the 3 packs. Now, whether or not you buy product or not, I think the goal for me was education. And that was the impetus of starting this, which was, yes, okay, if you don't believe me on the actual solution side of it, that's fine. But understand the anatomy, understand why we're doing certain things, understand fiber supplementation, understand that water hoses and the shower hoses and the big bulbs that people are using are overkill and are actually causing a tremendous amount of damage. And so whether or not you want to stick with water or not, that's up to you as a listener. But I think the reality is that look at the educational piece that we've actually been doing things wrong. And looking at porn and looking at YouTube stars and looking at all of these issues of how they're overdouching 30, 45 minutes, that's bullshit. For average sex, really, with fiber and exercise and diet and you shitting the right way, you should be able to do 2 bulbfuls, which is basically 1 pouch. Of the future method and irrigate enough. If you need more than that, the reality is that either you shouldn't be bottoming that day or you need to now relook at all the other things to make sure that you're super clean. So it's yes, the product, but I want also the method of understanding because that over time is just going to make people better bottoms.
And it's amazing.
And tops much more happy.
That's right. You know?
Does it come with, can you buy a package that comes with fiber supplements or would you suggest something through Future Method?
Oh, sure. So I work very closely with Take Two and Pure for Men. You know, do I think all fiber is created equal? No. But I do think that you have to see what works for you. And some people do the Duane Reade CVS, Walgreens Metamucil. Some people are doing the capsules from Take Two or Pure for Men. I have tried many. I'm on the Take Two that I really like. I work very closely with those guys. And, you know, it's just a different sourcing of fiber. And you have to see what works with psyllium husk and flaxseed and all that type of stuff.
So you had mentioned, you know, Sure Shots and all these other attachments that people are putting on their shower heads, et cetera, et cetera. And we were also talking about the fact that this solution that you have is pH balance. And a lot of people don't realize that depending on where you live, your water source could be either alkaline or acidic. And that could be extremely damaging to the rectal area. And finding a happy medium, a neutral zone, to be able to introduce some sort of liquid into your cavity that doesn't, like you said, damage the cell is what you're basically trying to do here.
And when you look at those shower hoses, the problem is that, one, a lot of them don't have those adapters to actually slow the flow down. Mm-hmm. So it's like, whoom, right up your ass. It's more of a colonic than it is just an enema or a douche, right?
Yeah.
Also, they actually go much higher than where you actually need the water to go. So it's going to produce a lot of shit and create the faux pas of like, hey, I'm actually dirty. And you're now creating this balloon effect where if people, and I know a ton of, especially my generation, 40s, 50s, those guys use shower hoses just every day. And what happens is that you start to get rectal prolapse. You start having constipation where you can't shit the right way. You always need that. It winds up becoming a really, really big issue.
Yeah.
And so, we're trying to educate now, understanding the anatomy and understanding the science of sex as it relates to our community. It's how do we look at everything scientifically and make sure that we have the products, the method, the education to now create that. But I think that with that said, it goes back to the first thing, which is you need to look at your life critically and figure out where are you on the shit spectrum. If you're a bottom and you don't care, that's all well and good, but you're going to definitely have people that will reject you. Mm-hmm. If you are a top that doesn't anticipate that sometimes you're going to get shit on your dick or you may get shit on, well, you're in the wrong line of business because it's going to happen periodically. So I think it's evaluating where you are and what that is and then understanding your own standard deviation so that you are not creating so much stigma in your own world or others so that now you're able to live the topping, bottoming, verse world that makes you whole.
So, that was good.
That you nailed it. So before we like close this out, I just want to say that I'm on Future Method website, the Same. Website right now, and I am subscribing to Save, by the way. So for $54 a month, you can get a 12-pack and one new reusable bulb and a guide to how to keep yourself clean. And yeah, every month for $54. It's like getting those like packages of clothes.
And if you're not sure if you want to go there just yet, they have the nice starter 3-pack. It comes with the one reusable bulb and 3 packs of the Future Method.
But you haven't had sex enough to go with a monthly subscription.
It's almost a new year.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's looking all sexy, ready to roll.
I'm ready to go.
I actually see the picture behind you and it's interesting. It must have been, how many years ago
Shut
was that?
Shut your mouth, Dr. G! With my blonde hair. I will, all right, this is over. This conversation is over.
The angle, the jaw angle right? Yeah, exactly. So
she's really dealing with some demons over here.
That was before we met her.
Well, as always, our conversations are crazy, amazing, informative, and, you know, what I'm taking away from this conversation is that...
Is that Dr. G thinks I'm old?
No, she did not say that. I just was like, I was curious.
I see you.
A little more fiber, you know. Mm-hmm.
I just have to shave, and then I'll get there again. Yeah, right, and like 20 pounds lighter. What I'm taking away from this conversation is that, listen, we know that you're going to douche, but if you're going to do it, know that there are consequences if you're doing it incorrectly or if you're doing it too often. So just be conservative with the amount of douching that you do. Know that you don't have to go all the way up to your esophagus to feel clean. And, you know, just watch your diet. Take your supplements and eat your, you know, eat whatever it is, exercise. Your fibers and exercise and just watch yourself.
We did a study when we posted this and I would have sworn that most people would have been like, no shit on my dick or like mortified. 92% said they didn't care. They didn't care. And it was a lot of people took the poll. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, a lot of people have taken polls,
there must be something wrong with me. Maybe I look at shit all fucking day. There's no way.
It's like, not when I'm out of the office.
I cannot.
All right, let's wrap this up.
All right, well, listen, Dr. G, as always, you know, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening once a month to join us here on the show and give us amazing informative information and also introducing us to products that you're working closely with to better our community because it's what you're doing. I love the work that you do. You know, a lot of what you're doing is really allowing men specifically in our communities to have more productive sexual experiences in a safe way, which is incredible.
But also men and women, because when you're on, I'm on futuremethod.com right now, and at the bottom of it, there's the fun stuff, how often Americans have anal sex, and it's a boyfriend and girlfriend together. So, you know, gay couples are not the only people that...
is the new norm. Anal is the new norm.
No, and I don't mean to, like, you know, just right exclude, you know, women from the conversation. I'm but just simply saying that this is really something that it's a gay show. And
oh, she's mad at me. You know,
Lord have mercy. But either way, I thank you, sir, because the work that you're doing is fantastic. And I think that our community benefits.
How long ago was that photo taken?
Shut the fuck up.
Evil. She is evil.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Dr. G, thank you so much. And you have yourself a wonderful time. I think the next time we're going to see you is going to be in the new year.
We'll see what Merritt says.
So, all guys, there's left to say is Merry Christmas and have a wonderful holiday.
Bye.
Holiday.
Bye. Guys. Bye.
All right, well, guys, that was Dr. G as always. That man is just incredible. And you're right. I think Merritt's going to be very mad at you. But he's great. He's great. And the work he is doing for our community is truly incredible.
You keep
because,
saying truly as you're holding one.
Oh, God. Thanks for that advertisement and pun there and plug.
Sponsor is pending.
But no, he does great work. So anyway, do we want to cover this last story that we have here? Or do we want to?
I did, but I just want to be done.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe just one.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about it.
One quick one, because I did have one that I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about a church in Wisconsin that hosted Thanksgiving for LGBTQ people who weren't able to go home specifically for that. The church in Beloit, Wisconsin hosted the third annual Thanksgiving dinner for LGBTQ locals who may have been unable to collaborate with their own biological families. The event is free and was organized by the Yellow Brick Road Advocacy Group and held at the First Congressional Church in Beloit City, which is typically probably about 30,000 people in population. And I think it's just wonderful to see some religious organizations really looking out for members of our community. And I know that we have our preconceived notions of what religion in general is, but sometimes you do come across certain denominations that really do good work and even support our community. We have the Church on the Green here in New Haven that does that. So, you know, I just want to thank them because, you know, we are lucky here, right, to be able to have options and to go to places and share with family, but not always that is the case for a lot of people, and having a place to go is really amazing. So thank you for doing what you do. I hope that this becomes an annual thing. Obviously, you're 3 years in. I wish you many more years of this, and I hope that you guys have an amazing turnout for that.
Absolutely.
Trish?
Well, since it's yesterday was World AIDS Day, I wanted to talk about this really quickly, because we have to wrap up the show, but it's actually kind of upsetting. So 28% of young adults say they wouldn't hug someone living with HIV.
Horrible.
And so recently in my life, I've had individuals that are HIV positive and taking care of themselves come into my life. And when I was younger, I was afraid of the stigma. I always said I would never date anybody that had HIV. I was afraid of dying from it. And my views on it have drastically changed because I've been educated by people that we've had on the show.
That's right.
By people that I've met in real life. And it stuns me to see that 28% of young adults, and now when I say young adults, I'm talking millennials and Gen Z. They are afraid to hug an individual who is HIV positive. Now, that being said, HIV individuals do need to take the appropriate measures to take care of themselves. And there are ways to live an entire life, a full life, healthy with HIV, and actually have a healthy sexual relationship with somebody who does not have HIV. Right. There are ways to live your life, but that does not mean whether that person has HIV and is taking care of themselves or not taking care of themselves, you as an individual can't hug them. If you feel that way, that's because you're uneducated. And it also is because our education system is flawed. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to sexual education, we need to start teaching people that HIV is not a death sentence anymore, and that our community have lost so many people to this, and we have made so many strides, and we cannot continue to have this stigma, and we cannot continue to have kids growing up in a world where they think that if they get this, they're going to die. The reason I feel a lot of people are afraid to come out as gay is because they're afraid of HIV. For me personally, I was afraid to tell my parents that I was gay because they thought that it was a death sentence for me. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case anymore.
Right. But that's the disconnection between these two generations and the generations that came before it, right? We had that scare. We were literally exposed to it front and center. We lost tangible people that meant something to us. This generation
only knows that. They don't have the education behind it that says it's not happening anymore. But it's not.
Well, the education is there, but they don't.
But
they're
not
connected
being taught to them.
They're not connecting to it.
No.
Because
no.
They don't have that personal experience tied to
Correct.
It.
Correct. Like us, you, me, Chris, people in our community will reach out. We'll find out that information. We will go. We will go the distance, Hercules. Anyway, we will find out.
And we got sued by Disney.
Just give us some money. We'll find out the information we need to know to protect ourselves, but also to spread the word. People that aren't, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, bi, a part of the community that think it won't affect them, they don't have the information available to them. They're not going to go look for it because they feel like they don't need it. It's not taught in schools the way it should be. So the biggest issue here is that the mass majority of the population isn't getting the information they need.
Absolutely.
The information's there. Well, again, there's a big disconnect.
But it's not being taught. Given to them. Exactly. It's not being reached out to them, or they're not reaching out to it. Because look at 28% of these young people in Generation Z, or as millennials, who are fearful of hugging someone who is HIV positive, is 5,000 steps backwards toward the beginning of the AIDS crisis, when doctors at that time had no idea what was happening.
Exactly.
And refused to enter the room to treat these patients. And luckily, our sisters of the lesbian community, their nurses would go in and do it. But at that point, they had no idea what was going on. We know, like Nick said, AIDS and HIV is no longer a death sentence as long as you follow it and you treat it and you speak with your medical professionals. It is no longer a death sentence. You can't catch it by someone sneezing next to you. You can't catch it by hugging or kissing someone. But to be honest with you,
if somebody has a zero viral load in their body, they are literally undetectable.
Right.
And they have a cut on their skin, and you have a cut on your skin, and you become blood brothers, and you're not on Truvada, you probably won't get AIDS. Like, that's...
It's most likely, of course.
Right. We are at that point, though. We are at that point, and people don't realize that. Like, I'm not saying go out there and be like, I have an open sore, I'm going to put it on your open sore. That's not what I'm saying. Right. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. And when you're talking about nurses in hospitals and lesbians that cared for the homosexual community when we were pretty much dying off, for lack of better term, they were right there with open sores and dealing with all of that stuff.
And they didn't even understand what was going on either. They were just brave enough and loved us enough.
That's what I'm trying to say, that the disconnect in the experience of what generations 30 years ago experienced versus what kids and the millennials and Gen Z, whatever you want to call them, are experiencing now are two completely different worlds.
That's beside the point.
You know what you know because of the work that we've done here on the show.
That is the point we're
making.
And you
as well. I mean, you're obviously a generation later than we are. I believe you're in the cusp
of millennial.
I'm a millennial. What I'm trying to say is that the experience that drove the education behind what wasn't going to happen with HIV and AIDS and how you weren't going to get it was very prevalent in that time because we were losing so many people. It was in the spotlight. It was in the media. It was always a topic of conversation.
But my first experience with it was from my parents. For you, it was different. But for me, it was from my parents. If you are gay, you're going to get AIDS and die. Right. Like that's what it was. Like the problem,
reality.
We're not disputing what you're saying. What we're disputing is the fact that it needs people that are not a part of our community need to be taught. It needs to be a part of the curriculum in schools.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that the experience for these young men today and women, and whether straight, bi, you know, transgender, gender nonconforming, the experience today, there's a huge disconnect in loss. Mm-hmm. And I think that the loss that we experienced in the early 80s and into the 90s is what really cemented it for those growing up in that era. Right. And these kids that are growing up now today don't have that connection. And therefore them, you know, in the age of Truvada, they're also learning a lot faster that they can take Truvada and potentially still go and have unprotected sex and not have a higher risk of contracting HIV than we did when we were growing up, because that didn't exist.
I think we are literally talking on...
We're saying the same thing.
No, we're talking on completely different roads right now. I'm talking about completely different things. So,
but the story in itself, the fact that you think, or the fact that we have such a high demographic of young people saying that they would not hug someone with HIV or someone that may have developed full-blown AIDS is ridiculous.
No, but I don't think that has anything to do with the fact that there was a high amount of loss, because
in reality, when people were dying of AIDS, mm-hmm. people stopped having sex. People stopped interacting with one another.
That's not necessarily
intimately,
true.
Intimately, it is. When people started dying, figuring out that it was fluid, it was gay, it was a fluid transmission disease, people stopped interacting with each other.
When you talk about history in the 90s, people weren't afraid to hug someone that had AIDS.
That is not true. That is 100% bullshit. I literally sat at dinner at a friend's house and a parent said, I'm not going to sip out of his cup because I was gay. So that's bullshit. That's 100% bullshit. But,
okay. I've been talking bullshit evidently. All right. So, well, listen, it was a great conversation. Thank you for having it. We're obviously on different sides of this.
Do you think I'm wrong here? No, I'm not done with this conversation now.
Oh,
you
we are now.
No, because you're done with it?
No, because obviously we're sitting on different sides of the conversation.
No, but I want to understand your point because right now I don't.
We all agree that it is wrong to think that you can't hug someone with HIV.
Correct.
I think it's wrong. We agree. We just disagree on the fact and how people connect to it 30 years ago versus the way they connected.
You think that 30 years ago, people weren't afraid to interact with somebody that had HIV?
I love you, honey. Mama Kim's minute.
No, I'm not. You can do it then, because I'm not done with this conversation.
Okay. So you want to put a timer on?
No.
All right, so we're going to do Mama Kim's minute. All right, so timer. In 3, 2...
And go.
1. All right. So children were told to build a wall at a White House Halloween party. Horrible. Trump Jr. urges followers to trigger a liberal and ruin Thanksgiving for their family. Trump gives World AIDS Day proclamation and fails to mention LGBT people. We talked about this earlier. Trump tweets support for World AIDS Day. His budget would slash critical funding. Two men accidentally propose to each other at the same time in a heartwarming viral video. I saw the video. It was amazing. And a single gay man overcome with joy after adopting a baby with Down syndrome who was rejected 20 times by the time he got to this individual. Time?
40 seconds.
All right,
good for that baby, though.
I know, I'm so
happy. How sad is it that they were denied?
You didn't interrupt him once.
I don't during the Mama Kim's minute.
You interrupt me all the time.
No, if you're like lagging, I'll be like, gotta hurry up, gotta hurry up.
There's a lot of love in this room. All right, thank you, Mama Kim, for sending in those stories. And we'll post those on tonight's episode description so that you guys can click on those links and read those or experience the video for yourselves. It was great. And now it's time for our Gay Talk turn.
We also just want to say, Mama Kim, we love our keychains.
That's right. I left my keys
upstairs.
We've
talked about it before. Where's mine? Trish, you got yours?
Mm-hmm. There are more on their way.
Well, we love them, and I'm showing them to everyone. I'm sure you guys are. And like, I pull them out of my pocket with pride. Like,
literally.
They're amazing.
See what I did there?
They're amazing. Yeah.
She needs to get Etsy so we can put it on our website.
So here's
but
the
Etsy's
thing.
Etsy's too exclusive.
Oh, you know what? Fuck you, Bob. I love you, though. But I will say this. So, you know, she is gung-ho on making this happen and having these available for people to be able to get them. They're amazing and they're awesome. And I think that what she's going to be doing with them, if everything comes to fruition, is to, yeah, it's dangling right there. It's very pretty. Thank you, Chris. Is to make it happen so that people can get them and donate, you know, some of the revenue generated from these to the Trevor Project. We got an email today from her, actually a couple of minutes ago, saying that she's excited and that she's one step closer in making that happen. So, you know, I don't want to give too much away because, you know, we want to wait until everything is in place before we officially give the green light for people to be able to get them. And we're super excited. So that being said, we can move into our Gay Talk term. So, because you picked it, Christopher, we'll let Trish read it.
No, he has it. I don't have it.
I have it, yeah. Well, it's in the notes, but I was inspired. I wasn't here
because
last
week. Evidently, I'm spiky today.
I wasn't here last week, and I missed them. And I'm like, why did I miss them so much? Like, it didn't click in my head. Like, I was waking up in the middle of the night, and I was like, they're terrible, but I missed them. And I'm like, why did I miss them? And then I opened the book, and I saw the term spiky. So this week's Gay Talk term, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com,
is spiky. And this is a British term, which means nasty, tempered, and then time added queen. So that's why I missed you. I missed my spiky bitches.
All right. Well, welcome. Well, we have two of them sitting here on stage.
That's right. So this week's Gay Talk term is spiky.
Spiky. All right. Yes. And what about on this day in gay history?
I feel so like Trish.
Like, I know. Like you're taking
back,
over the...
back to back. It's not the most fun thing, but it's important. It's important because as we've seen a plethora of members of the transgender community.
Oh, she's using big words.
Being murdered this year. Mm. It's important to remember that this didn't just start within this Trump administration. It has been a plague that our nation and the world has experienced for decades now. So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
When December 2nd, 1994, in the state of California, a transgender woman was killed. Terry Ladvig, who was born in the Philippines, was the wife of Stephen Ladvig, and her murder still remains to this day unsolved.
And she's unfortunately not the only one.
Exactly. You know? And it's a sad news. It's sad news, but it goes to show that this, like I said, this has been a plague that has taken over this nation and many nations across the globe, predominantly most nations, I'm sure, for decades and decades and decades, at least in the common day.
You know, it's interesting, you know, that this is the on this day in gay history, because we know now, given all the stories that we've covered on the show, that the amount of murders that we have for our transgender sisters or even brothers in the community are not representative of what they truly are, because transgender murders typically go unreported by local authorities nationwide and even worldwide, because they typically would list them under their dead name, and their information typically doesn't get put into a database identifying that they were trans. They just basically make it easy on themselves and just do whatever they need to do to just process the body and move it along.
Well, also internationally right now, a new article came out on the 18th saying 331 trans people have been killed this year internationally.
Yeah.
And that's totaling 130 in Brazil. That, like,
yeah, I was going to mention Brazil, definitely the highest.
Can be accounted for. 63 Mexico and 30 in the United States alone. So, yeah.
It's sickening. Year to year, those numbers get higher and higher. And we need local authorities to do more.
And the greatest country in the United States of America is top three in the list.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Sad.
So on that note, I would like to thank everyone for tuning in today. If you love our show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. That allows you to get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to make donations to our show, help us out. We collect those donations every month, and they can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
I'm going to put some pep in our step next week. It's all about the dish.
That's right.
That's it. It's just going to be Trish, Tom, and I, or snow boots, sandals, and L.I. We're going to hash it out. Hopefully, we can keep it together. We can have a constructive conversation.
I think we can.
Debate, and we can, you know, respect one another and not... Yeah,
I did.
I look forward to it.
I didn't lose my hair.
No, this is all of us. All of us, we can get heated. No.
All right, why? Let's close it out.
I didn't say you lost your hinges. I just said we were respectful today.
Let's close out the show.
All right. So on that note, Chris, continue.
No.
All right, you're done. Nick, it's your turn.
Thank you to our guest, Dr. G, for joining us tonight on this episode. For more information on Bespoke Surgical, you can visit bespokesurgical.com. We will have all his information on our post tonight. Thank you.
And what was the products that he mentioned?
Future Method. Chris?
Okay.
I really don't want to get shit dick, so can we put a rubber on this, please?
Sure. Yes.
All righty, ladies and gents. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Snowboots announces. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can call us and leave us a message with your question. We'll answer that for you on the show. It is the phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. talk. If you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.